Good morning, St. Peter's. I'll try again. Good morning, St. Peter's.
Good morning.
It's a good thing we're not a boat because we'd definitely be leaning this way.
Yeah, look at that.
Good to see you all. Welcome to St. Peter's this morning to praise the Lord. Hey, we are a Bible preaching, Jesus believing, praying church. We're in the middle of a 12-week-long study that we are talking about spiritual warfare, the invisible war. And if you've been here, I know for a fact you've experienced it. You know that the forces of evil are real and they're dealing against us every day. I know that they were dealing against our pastor this week and some things that he had to take care of. And I can even tell you that even though we had a wonderful snow camp this past weekend, we had to deal with the assault of the evil one, even there. There were things that we had to take care of. So we just praise him and thank him that we've been in through this study, that we're learning the ways to take care of those things, and that we are prepared to be better soldiers for Jesus Christ. You know, before I leave this morning, there are a couple of announcements. The only announcement that I have is men's group was canceled yesterday. We'll continue next Saturday. Ted Wheeler will be leading. And we should be read up through chapters 6 and 7. Okay? Other than that, I want to give a praise for our youth snow camp. We took 21 young people from our church and about 60 total from Crossview Missional. And all together with youth and leadership, we had a little over 100 people there. Amen. I want to thank you all because we used the backup sound system, soundboard that we have here at St. Peter's. Our old one we took up there and used it in place of theirs, and it made a tremendous difference. Everybody commented about how good the worship team sounded. And the sound of it wasn't the thing. You know, this is Karen and I's 7th or 8th year at snow camp. We have never experienced our young people worship the way they worshiped. They were trying to outdo one another. They were singing for Jesus. And it was a wonderful, amazing experience in the Holy Spirit, the way the worship happened. On Saturday afternoon, I preached. Then Ken preached the follow-up to my sermon. And through that sermon, we had 7 young people come to big professions of faith, accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. So, amen. Thank you. I want to say a special thank you to a group of guys who came up and cooked for us on Friday night. 100 people. I just said, hey, we need some help. Can somebody come cook? They came up. They drug their own equipment up. They made hamburgers and hot dogs and grilled macaroni and cheese, and had desserts for us. And I want to say thank you to them. And I want to show you that up there this week, we preached through the story of Joseph. And if you all know the story of Joseph, Joseph came from a very dysfunctional family. And his ministry started when he was about 17 years old. And some of the things that Joseph went through, besides being thrown into a pit, besides being tried to be murdered by his brother, besides being sold into slavery, being accused of rape, Joseph continued to do what he thought was for good, because he thought what he was doing was for God. And because Joseph continued to do what he thought was for good, God stayed in his life. And God blessed everything that he did. The Bible says that God blessed everything that Joseph did. So Joseph's actions, Joseph's things that he did for God were blessed and multiplied. He became the second most powerful man in Egypt. And because of his power, because of his position, during the famine, he was able to save the entire nation of Israel. And from it, the tribes and the nation of Israel was built through God's promise. So what he did for good came to be for good. So these are t-shirts that we have made up for all of our guys. But I want to say a special thank you. John Poe, can you come up, please? I have t-shirts for John, for Bob Fike, for Kevin Shuhart, and for Bubba Miller. Thank you guys for coming to help us.
Hey, it's great.
All right, just like Johnny loves me and we gave each other a hug, greet one another now in the name of Jesus and we'll get ready to praise the Lord.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Settle down. What am I supposed to say here? Attention, please. I don't know. Will they raise your hand in the thunder? Yeah, there we go. Hi. This week has gone unexpectedly for a number of us, and due to a combination of schedules, sicknesses, and well, my poor leadership skills. We are in the situation that we're in now. And in an effort to view it as an opportunity and not an obstacle, we're going to bring it down a bit this Sunday. So the songs are quieter, mostly quieter. You know I have a tendency to bang over here. I'm going to try and put a lid on it. feel free to worship as you're led. We're hoping this is a time for you to personally, individually connect with our Creator, our Savior. If you want to sit, go ahead and sit. If you want to stand, whatever. I mean, you can do that every Sunday, you know that. But today, make it about your own relationship with Jesus.
Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to come together as a body. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to put away all the things that distract us. Problems in our home, problems with our work, problems with family, friends, situations, animals, whatever. Our minds sometimes race a million miles an hour, and we sit in here on a Sunday morning thinking about all the things that have to be done and everything that has to happen. After we get out, I just pray that you would focus, that we would focus on you this morning. Put everything else aside and focus on you.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, so humbly my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Pastor, would you pray?
Father God, it is wonderful to be in your house to worship today. God, we come to bow our hearts, to submit ourselves to your leading. Lord, some of us this week have had incredibly joyful, powerful, amazing experiences where we've been in the throne room with you and we have felt the fullness of the Spirit in our minds and our hearts. And we have soared because we've been in such deep communion with you. God, thank you for those encounters. We pray for more of them, for all of us. At the same time, Lord, some of us have literally been held back this week. It has been brutal. Different areas of our lives. We've experienced demonic oppression and manifestation of evil in ways that make us literally sick to our stomachs. God, in all of it, you are sovereign over every situation, circumstance. So we're here today, as we just sang, to bow down. Because God, you sustained us through all the week, through the hills and the valleys, and brought us to these moments of intimate, personal worship of you. God, hear our hearts cry for closeness with you, for intimacy with you. Lord, we pray you draw near to us as we draw near to you.
Clothe me in garments of praise. Jesus, forever my song will be you. I'm living in freedom. You've taken my burden away. Jesus, forever my song will be you. Only for you. For the cross that you bore and the debt that you paid. For the victory you've won over death and the grave. This is the reason I sing. For the hope that you give and the joy that you bring. For the promise that heaven is waiting for me. This is the reason I sing. Whoa, whoa. not be silent. I'll testify of your grace. Jesus, forever my song will be you, only for you. For the cross that you bore and the debt that you paid, for the victory you won over death and the grave. This is the reason I sing, for the hope that you give and the joy that you bring, for the promise that heaven is waiting for me. This is the reason I sing, oh, 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 so good, so good, you're so good to me. Forever I'll sing, you're so good to me. So good, so good, you're so good to me. Forever I'll sing, you're so good to me. For the cross that you bore and the debt that you paid, for the victory you won over death and the grave. This is the reason I sing, for the hope that you give and the joy that you bring, for the promise that heaven is waiting for me. Oh, this is the reason I sing, for the cross that you bore and the death that you paid, for the victory you won over death and the grave. Oh, this is the reason I sing, for the hope that you give and the joy that you bring, for the promise that heaven is waiting for me. Oh, this is the reason I sing, oh, 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 Jesus, the reason I sing, oh, oh, this is the reason I sing. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. sit and sing of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Let's sing to Him this morning.
Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness. Let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your
God, that is our desire, to be filled with the power of Your presence, to submit ourselves to You, and to be filled to overflowing with the Spirit who lives in each one of us. God, thank You for the sweetness, the calm in our spirits right now. Thank You, God, for the sweet peace that the Comforter brings. Jesus taught us, my peace I leave to You, my peace I give to You. Not as the world gives, Jesus said. And then a few weeks later, He sent the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in all Christ's followers. That same Holy Spirit that indwelled the apostles dwells in us. And so, Holy Spirit, we've just sung releasing Your will here today. Have Your way in me. Have Your way, Lord, in each one of us. And God, may we in these hour and 20 minutes or whatever we're together this morning be filled to overflowing so that what comes out of us in the week that is ahead spills out onto the people around us. When Moses went up to the mountain, came down, and his face radiated with the Shekinah glory of God. And so, Lord, this week, May we reflect that same glory that your servant Moses had. Because we've been in your very presence. God, we celebrate the holy quietness today. Grateful, Lord, for who you are and for revealing yourself to us today. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. For our ministry minutes this morning, we have something a little bit different. Ask all the elders and deacons to come forward. And as they're coming, I'll explain why. Over the course of the last few months, it's become clear that we have a lot of new folks here in our church and checking in online. And we often talk about our leadership team, our elders and deacons. But a lot of you, we've learned, don't know who these men are. And so we thought we'll remedy that problem today and try and more frequently get them in front of you so that you're aware of who our elder board and deacon board is. So there are two guys that couldn't be here this morning because their families are away on vacation. Two of our elders, Brother Mark Schweitzer and Brother Jeff Miller, are not here today. So we will make sure you get to see them at another time. So we'll just start here on the right. We have one of our elders. This is Dave Somerville, our board chairman, over the whole elder and deacon board, Bob Fike. Jim Fitzgerald is one of our deacons. Joe Markey. Mark Delp. Tom Kleinfelder, both are deacons, as is Ben Quisenberry. Nate Wolf is an elder. And Ben Emig is one of our deacons. So these are our leadership team. We are grateful for these men and how they serve you. If there are questions about our church or about how things work, these are the guys that you should all be talking to, in addition to Mark and Jeff.
What's the difference between an elder and a deacon?
What's the difference between an elder and a deacon? Good question. 1 Timothy chapter 3 outlines two offices in the church. One is elder and one is deacon. In general, the elders are responsible for the oversight in the church around the world, not just St. Peter's, but all churches, for the spiritual oversight of the congregation that they lead. So all of the spiritual matters, in general, come through the elders. The deacons, the first deacons were appointed in Acts chapter 6 when the apostles were so busy ministering to the people, preaching the word and praying, that they were not able to do all the ministry to the people that needed to be done. And so the first deacons, they weren't called deacons in Acts chapter 6, but they eventually became called deacons, were to take care of the administration of the church body. Now, that does not lessen them in any way, because the first seven deacons that were chosen were men full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 6 tells us. So it doesn't mean that elders are more important than deacons or deacons have a bigger job than elders. Both play vital roles in the church. And so that's the relationship that elders and deacons have. Our elders here at church lead the spiritual matters. The deacons take care of and make sure that our church functions and runs as it needs to. And there's a lot of crossover as well. Sometimes elders do some of the things deacons do because our elders are all servants as well, and they love to serve the Lord. So sometimes you'll see elders here nailing things to the wall and putting things up, and you'll see deacons sometimes praying and teaching and leading because that's their spiritual gift. So that's the role of the elders and deacons in our church. Thanks for the question, John. All right, thanks, elders and deacons. Appreciate you being here. All of our children can head downstairs to Children's Church. For all the adults, please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. That'll be our starting place today. And get your fingers ready, because we're going to be flipping around to lots of different passages in both the Old and New Testament for our study today. As we've been learning over the course of the last 6 weeks, we are involved in an invisible war, every one of us. And one of the key components for us to engage in the spiritual battle that we face is to hide God's word in our heart, to memorize scripture. And so each week we've been doing a verse per week. And for this past week, it was Galatians 5:16. Let's all say it together. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Our verse for this coming week is James chapter 4, verse 7. Let's say it together. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I hope by now all of you are convinced that every one of us, myself included, are engaged in a spiritual battle every day. It's not a battle against people, but it's a battle against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. As we've learned, our enemy, the devil, and the demons who follow him have a lot of different tactics that they use against us. And so the job that Pastor Jerry and I have took up during this series is to equip you to battle against those strategies that the enemy has. The first way that we have learned that we battle against the strategies of the enemy is by using scripture. We learned in our very first week that even Jesus himself was not immune to spiritual warfare. And the enemy, Satan, came against him directly, tempting him. And the way Jesus defeated Satan's temptation was to quote scripture. Remember, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus modeled for us the way we deal with temptations by using scripture. We also learned that a common tactic of the enemy against us is to attack our thought life. We learned from the Apostle Paul that we are to take every thought captive that comes into our head. We noted that demons are not omnipotent, meaning they cannot read our thoughts. But through different methods and strategies that they have, they can ensure that little seeds of temptations and evil, impure thoughts get planted in our mind. And so even though they can't read our minds, they can get things in there that would give us impure thoughts. And Brother Mark Schweitzer, one of our elders, taught us his quick spit theory, that anytime a bad thought comes into our mind, we're to just kick it right back out, not let it take root. And replace that bad thought with something positive, uplifting, encouraging, and probably even scripture is the best way. Third, we learned 2 weeks ago how to put on the full armor of God. That the Lord has given us 6 specific pieces of armor. The helmet of salvation, that we are saved by grace through faith. And we are to remind ourselves that no one, not even Satan himself, can snatch us out of God's hand once we have been saved. We are taught to put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is our holy living every day. God says, be holy as I am holy. When we put on that righteousness of Christ, we live out our intention to follow after the Lord every day. And people around us can see that we are different because we are following after the Lord. Third, we're told to put on the belt of truth. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. And so we, in our lives, commit our thoughts, our actions, our words to be truthful 100% of the time. We want to be men and women of integrity that live honest lives. We are told to shod our feet with the readiness of the gospel of peace, that we have to take God's peace wherever we go. And that when we walk into a room that's full of confusion and anxiousness and sniping and whatever, we bring the peace of God with us that brings that instant calm, because people can see in us God's peace. We are told to take up the shield of faith, which with we, which with we can extinguish the flaming darts of the enemy. We are all going to be attacked, and it is our faith that enables us to defeat those attacks, those fiery darts of the enemy. And we're told to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. John 17 says, your word is truth. We are to use God's word as part of the armor to defeat the enemy. And today, we learn, what do we do when we are directly attacked by a demon? How do we conduct ourselves? What are the steps that we should take when we are aware that there is a demonic force, a demonic presence that comes against us? It could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual. It could be coming against us, it could be coming against our family, our children, grandchildren. And we need to be prepared when those things happen to respond in a biblical way. In his book on the invisible war, Chip Ingram quotes from one of his colleagues from Dallas Seminary, where they have this chart. And the intention of the chart, I've modified it a little bit, I think, to make it hopefully more clear. Chip lays out varying degrees of demonic involvement or attack against Christians. They start at the most basic and simple level with temptations. And then they rise in intensity as the demons get more bold in their way. Comes to opposition, then influence, oppression, obsession, control, possession, and even inflicting death upon people. And so by far, and Chip says this early on in his book and in the small group study, well over 90% of the spiritual warfare that we face are just those day-to-day temptations and oppositions that we face. And they can be defeated with the putting on the armor and with using scripture as the sword. But there are times when things go beyond that, when they reach the upper levels of the intensity. And what do we do in those cases? That's what today is about. Now, before we get into our teaching today, I want to start with four thoughts based on our experience. First, deliverance is, for most of us, going to be a rare occasion. Heidi's going to come right now and share a testimony about a couple of times when demons have directly come against her and how she defeated it. But please understand that this is not an everyday experience in the Beck house. These are rare things, but they do happen. And so Heidi has asked Tiffany to pray for her, and then she's going to share one specific story.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for my sister Heidi. Thank you for the love that she has for you and for others and that comes out of her. We thank you, Lord, that your word says if we submit to you, right, and you'll guard our hearts in Christ Jesus and give us peace. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon Heidi now, Lord, and that you give her peace from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. And I thank you that your word says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I thank you, Jesus, that you have overcome death, hell, and the grave and all these enemies that we're fighting. Lord, you've already won that war, and we're thankful for that. Thank you, Lord, for Heidi's testimony now that you've given to her. And I pray, Father, that you would give her peace and strength to speak it out. And, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and that it would touch and move in your people, Lord, that it would give us encouragement, Lord, when we fight those similar battles. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And thank you for your protection. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Tiff. And I just pray that everything I say will be glorifying to God and that he would protect this church, anyone hearing online, that he would surround us with his heavenly angels and his mighty right hand, that everything I say would be to honor and glorify God. I was sleeping peacefully one night a few years ago. Nothing out of the ordinary over the day before, weeks before. Tom was in bed with me, sleeping soundly. And all of a sudden, I felt a pressure on my chest, like, I don't even know how to explain it, just huge pressure on my chest. and I was awakened, and then I felt a choking around my neck, and I was trying to scream for help, but it was muffled because I was being choked. I was trying to wake up Tom to help me because, in all honesty, that's who I turned to. He's my protector in this life. He's the one I look to, and I'm muffled trying to scream for his help. And he's sleeping soundly, and I can't move. I can't wake him up. And I'm like, I'm going to die here, and he's snoring. You know, like, I didn't know what to do. And it dawned on me at that moment that I'm fighting a spiritual battle here, and he can't save me. There's only one person that can save me, and that's Jesus. And it was at that time that I started, when I realized it was spiritual warfare, I started screaming at the top of my lungs, I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. It's the only thing I could think of at the moment to say, Satan, you have no business being here. Demon, whoever, you have no business here. I belong to Jesus. And at that time, I can't explain it other than there was a light that almost looked like a butterfly. Flew over my head, down my body, and pushed the darkness right out of our window, and I was free. So that is my experience. And the next morning I said to Tom, didn't you hear me screaming for you? And he was like, no, it sort of sounded like you were having a bad dream or something, but I didn't. I'm like, oh, next time you hear that. But it has happened twice since, once only 2 months ago, probably right before we started this series. But now I know right away. If that comes, I know exactly what it is, and I know exactly what to do. Greater is he that who is in me than he that who is in the world. And immediately it went. So sometimes over the day, you know, we're doing our devotions, we're praying, we don't have the attacks, but sometimes at night he can sneak in and try to influence you, oppress you, whatever. Just give it to God, and I give him all the honor and glory.
Thank you, Heidi. So these are rare occasions, right? Heidi shared three times in her adult life that she's experienced this, but it does happen. Secondly, even though it is rare, it probably occurs more than most of us think. And when it does happen, as you can hear from Heidi's voice, it is frightening. Because these experiences are so rare for most of us, we don't know what to do at first. Third, deliverance ministry is crowded with a lot of misinformation. Hollywood movies have painted a picture, things like The Exorcist and many others, that show aberrant and even ridiculous scenes our purported demonic activity. Many people are simply confused about what the Bible calls being demonized. Movies create visual images, and once we see a movie with a supposed demonic situation, people become convinced that's what it looks like. In truth, if you read the Bible, you see dozens and dozens of different ways that demons attack people. Remember, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Demons will do anything they can to use to their advantage, even appearing as a holy angel to some to confuse them. On one occasion, I was working with a young girl who was dealing with an extreme demonic situation. Whether it literally possessed her or was oppressing her doesn't matter. It was pressing in against her in a severe way. And in the midst of us praying over this girl, angel appears to her wearing a crown of thorns. And we're all thinking this is good news. Jesus has showed up, right? In reality, it was the angel of light trying to get us to leave him alone because he was about to be kicked out. And we didn't know that at the moment. It took us a while to figure that out. And so be careful. Again, Hollywood has sensationalized this. And it's not always like the movies that we think. Fourth, there have been a lot of false prophets who largely work through television and social media who purport to have demon-possessed people come and be set free in front of the camera. And those videos have been enhanced and rehearsed with grand theatrics. And I'm sure some of you know what I'm talking about. They create a false impression of what deliverance is like. And so I caution you against watching these. They're not real deliverance. And here's why I say that. No one credible that I know of creates videos of their deliverance work. No one. We don't go looking for this stuff, friends. When it shows up, we deal with it. But we're not out there to make videos on it, because what's behind that? They're making money at it. And that's not what this is about. It's not about making money at things. So enough about the background. Let's talk about what do we do to help you get deliverance when you have those moments like Heidi described, when the enemy's coming against you. The solution, as Heidi shared, is to command the Jesus to come, to ask Jesus to come, and to command the demon to leave in Jesus' name. Let's look at some scripture for this. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. It happened that we, Paul, Silas, and Luke, were going to a place of prayer. And there a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was also bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued doing this for many days. But Paul was pretty annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. This slave girl was controlled by an evil spirit that gave her some pretty incredible powers. And if and when you experience a demon, if you are a Christian, you're going to at times feel those very real powers. Regardless of the level of intensity that's come across you, again, go back to that picture on the screen, it doesn't matter how intense it is, the solution is just command the evil spirit to leave in the name of Jesus. And here's the thing. You need to say it out loud. Now, the first time you do that, you're going to feel a little ridiculous, especially if it's the middle of the night, your spouse is laying next to you, you're like, it's going to be really weird if I start praying out loud. But demons can't read your thoughts, remember that. And so if you're going to command the demon to leave, you follow the example of Paul there, you got to say it out loud, in the name of Jesus, not by my authority, by the power of Jesus, I command you to leave. And the demon will leave. Now here's the thing. Sometimes we command the evil spirit to leave and it does leave. It has to obey Jesus. It leaves. But the evil spirits will sometime come back. What do you do in those cases when the demon comes back for round two? Well, again, fortunately, God shows us in Scripture what to do. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16 gives us a remedy for that. A little bit of background, just 30 seconds. Saul was the king over Israel. He was chosen by God to lead Israel. He had rebelled against God and fallen into sin, ignoring God's commands, not doing what God told him very specifically and clearly through the prophet Samuel to do. He did what he wanted to do. And here's what happened to him. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. An evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. Saul's servants then said to him, "Behold, now an evil spirit from God is terrorizing you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you. Let them seek a man who is a skillful player on the harp, And it shall come about when the evil spirit from God is on you, that he will play the harp with his hand, and you will be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide for me now a man who can play well, and bring him to me. Then one of the young men said, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who's a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech, and a handsome man. And the Lord is with him. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who's with the flock. So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them to Saul by David his son. Then David came to Saul and attended him, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Saul said to Jesse, saying, let David now stand before me, for he's found favor in my sight. All of that is background to get us to verse 23. Here's the key thing, verse 23. So it came about, whenever the evil spirit came from God to Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand. And Saul would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. So one particular occasion where Heidi and I and two other pastors and another lady were battling a obvious demonic oppression that was coming against a teenage girl. And we had been praying for some time, and the demon wouldn't leave. And we're praying and praying, and we're doing everything that we knew to do. We're calling on Jesus. We're asking the Holy Spirit. We're just pleading. And finally, the Lord brought to mind, let's put on some worship music. And we just started playing worship music. And one of the songs where the evening broke and the Spirit left was the third song we sang today. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill this place. Soon as that song started playing on our phone over the room that we were praying in, the demon left. And I remember driving home that night thinking, there's something to this, right? And I started doing some digging and came across this passage like, oh yeah, I forgot about this with Saul. So friends, sometimes demons are going to poke at you. They're going to come and peck away at you. Again, remember that level intensity? It's going to be above a temptation, but it's not going to be a full-blown, you know, trying to control you, but they're pecking away at you. Let's put on some worship music. Demons hate worship. And here's why. Keep in mind, demons are fallen angels. They used to live in heaven. What goes on in heaven 24/7? Worship. Holy, 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 being praised before God every day. Demons obviously hated that because they rebelled against God. And so every time worship music is played, it's a reminder of them, of their past, of what heaven is like. And they hate it. They left heaven the first time because they didn't like it. And so when we bring heaven down, remember, we pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What goes on in heaven? Perpetual worship. So if we want the demons to leave us, start worshiping. And the demons leave. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to come back. Saul experienced that. David would come, play his harp often. So when the demons come and peck away at you, just get out your phone, get out your computer, get out your CDs, whatever. Put on some worship music. Just get in God's presence. They'll leave you alone pretty quickly. Third, meditate and pray often, friends. And as you pray and you command the spiritual forces of wickedness to leave you alone, you need to fill your mind with some things. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is on the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. So tell the demons to leave, and they leave. Fill your mind, meditate on the scriptures. Take some of the verses that we've been memorizing. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Whichever one of the and any of them, just start quoting them over and over and over in your head. Meditate upon them. The sweetness of that will keep your mind clear from the demonic attacks coming against you. In addition, just pick up your Bible and start reading. And again, read it out loud. Demons don't like scripture either. And if you struggle in reading, what some people do is you take the Bible app on their phone, flip to wherever you're reading in scripture right now, just turn on the audio portion and let the app read for you. Or some people don't have a iPhone or whatever. That's fine. Just get your CD player, put your Bible on CD on the CD and let it play. And just let the scriptures fill the room. We had one young girl who, we cast the demon out and the demon left her, but in the middle of the night, the demons would come back and peck at her. So she just put on her iPhone, just let the scripture read. And eventually, over a period of weeks and months, just doing that every time they came, they eventually stopped coming back. Because remember, demons hate prayer, they hate worship, and they hate the Word of God. Now, having given those specific steps, 99% of the times that you feel an attack, using those specific steps, commanding the demons to leave, putting on worship music, reading scripture, meditating upon God's word, the demons are going to leave you. There are those times, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you repented of your sins, you've commanded the demon to leave, and the demons are still pecking away at you. What do you do then? And the answer is, get somebody to come and pray with you and stand together against these spiritual forces of wickedness. True story. This just happened in our family a week ago. Our son Jacob was preparing to lead at snow camp with Pastor Jerry. Thursday before snow camp, he's praying, he's getting all the pieces together, getting his lessons together, reviewing everything that needed to be done. And just like Heidi described, he's awake at this point. He starts choking, sitting in a chair. He's literally being choked. He can feel like hands around his windpipe. He's being choked. He's praying. He's doing what he knows to do, but the demons just keep choking. So he texts us and say, "Hey, Mom, Dad, I need you guys to pray." So we start praying instant. As soon as the three of us praying in agreement, demon left and he could breathe again. Now, why? Well, Jacob's preparing to leave. Jerry shared today, 60, 70 kids for the weekend. Satan's going to come against us in those times. And we pray and it left. So don't be afraid to ask for help. When you're praying and you're seeking the Lord and the demons aren't leaving you alone, there's nothing wrong with you. Just get help. Call one of us. We'll be glad to pray with you. You don't need to stop and fast and do a 24-hour scripture reading. And there are times when we do that, and that'll be another lesson for another way down the road. But when those things happen in the moment, you can't breathe. You don't have time to fast and pray. You want somebody to pray with you. So you feel those things coming, call for help. Get one of us and we will pray with you. We don't have to be with you. We can pray wherever we are. And we'll storm heaven with you. And we won't give up until the demon leaves. Now, a couple words of caution. For some people, after they experience success of deliverance a time or two, it's easy to become filled with pride. I can cast the demon out. Woohoo! Demon comes, pecks away at me. I tell him to go and he leaves. I'm something special. Be careful. Here's what happened to the apostles. Jesus had sent the 12 out 2 by 2, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 10, he sent them out 2 by 2, a group of 70 in addition to the apostles. And they were healing people. They were raising people from the dead. They were casting out demons. And they were all that. Look at us. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Yep, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing's going to injure you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this. Don't get prideful. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Deliverance is never a time for pride or arrogance or feelings of superiority. Stay humble. Be confident, because as Heidi said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't be filled with fear, but don't allow pride to overtake you, that the demons have to obey you. They're not obeying you, they're obeying Jesus. Neo Anderson, who has a whole ministry that what they do is help people that are on the stuck end of the spectrum. These are the super crazy ones that have a really difficult demonic situation. And he writes this in his training in helping people. He says this, quote, "The authority we're talking about is not independent authority. We have authority to do God's will, nothing more, nothing less. We don't charge out on our own initiative like evangelical ghostbusters to hunt down the devil and engage him in combat. God's primary call for us is to focus on the ministry of the kingdom. That includes things like loving and caring and preaching and teaching and so on. However, when demonic powers challenge us in the course of doing our ministry, we can deal with them on the basis of our authority in Christ and dependence on him. Then we carry on with our primary task," end quote. What's the primary task that God has given the church? The Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is our primary mission. We need to be about that. At St. Peter's, we call it preparing people for eternity. That's our primary mission. We want to stay focused on that. And when we get distracted over here by the spiritual force of wickedness, we go deal with it, and then we come right back on the path that God has us. Second caution. Every demonic situation will be different. If you read through the deliverance ministries of the scripture, no two of them are the same. In fact, I think it's instructive for us that every time Jesus encountered a demon, he did something different. He didn't have a recipe that he did A, then B, then C, then D. That was not how deliverance ministry worked in his life. And the book of Acts and the epistles, it's the same way. You will not find a recipe for deliverance. Every situation is going to be different. And I just have three in your notes. There are 35 references to Satan in the New Testament. There are 76 mentions of demons in the New Testament. So there's no way we could survey all of them this morning, but I picked out three just to give you a sense of the variety of the way that Jesus dealt with demons. Luke chapter 13. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double, could not straighten it up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and he said to her, "Woman, you're freed from your sickness." Now notice, he didn't talk directly to the demon. He didn't address the demon in any way. He just said, "You're healed, period." She stand up, walks erect, and keeps going, glorifying and praising God. For this woman, from the outside, it looked like she had a physical ailment, right? It was not apparently obvious that there was a demonic spirit involved. But in this case, Jesus made clear there was a demon that was attacking her, and that's why she couldn't stand up and walk correctly. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. He, Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, he would rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Now, let's take a time out here, right? Jesus had told Peter, "You are the rock, and on you I'm going to build the church." Here's the leader of the apostles. How can he be so influenced by Satan that he's going to get Jesus off his mission? How can that happen? Some of you maybe have asked the same question. Well, gee, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. I've committed my life to him. Why is the enemy coming against me? Came against Peter. He's going to come against you too, in different ways and at different times. And he was using Peter to manipulate the situation to get Jesus off the mission that God had sent him to do. Third, Matthew 8:16. When evening came, they brought to Jesus, him, many who were demon-possessed. And I want you to notice the dichotomy here. He cast out the spirits with the word, and he healed all who were ill. What Matthew wants us to see here is not every sickness is demonic. Some are, as we learned earlier from the woman who was bent over. Some are physical maladies. If I have a sinus infection, it doesn't mean I have a demon. It means I need an antibiotic to heal the sinus infection. So we have to be careful about taking every sickness and saying, well, that's demonic. Sometimes you just need an antibiotic to heal you. And other times, Jesus shows us here, there are demonic spirits. And knowing the difference is part of the wisdom and discernment that comes through the Holy Spirit, of knowing when it's a physical demonic situation and when you just need a pill to make you better. Third caution. Fill your mind with praise and the word of God. Here's a story in Luke chapter 11. This is Jesus speaking. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and not finding any. It says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. Then it goes away and takes along seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they go in and live there. And the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. The point is, don't let your mind be empty. If you're dealing with a demonic situation and you tell it to leave and it leaves, put something else in your mind. Scripture, praise music, hymns, whatever is going to be uplifting and godly. Remember Philippians 4:8, whatever is noble, excellent, praiseworthy. If there's anything like this, think on such things. We need to fill our minds with those things. We have a big problem in our culture today with mindfulness. You know the first step of mindfulness? Empty your mind. Don't do that. Please don't do that. That is ripe for opening your mind to be filled with what you don't want there. Fill your mind with praise and worship. Don't empty it. Jesus says right here what's going to happen. Fill your minds with things that are noble and excellent and praiseworthy. I hope I've not scared you today. That is not my intent. My intent is that when you have these things happen to you, that you say, I remember Pastor Tom taught us this, and I know what to do. Maybe you've never experienced this. Praise the Lord. Rejoice. Be glad. I'd be happy if another demon never showed up at my doorstep ever again. I would praise the Lord. We don't go looking for these things. They have a way of finding us. Remember, they are our enemy, friends. Don't be afraid. Take up the spiritual armor and get in the fight. Our scripture verse for today submit to God, resist the devil, and what? He will flee. He has to leave. Remember that first part. Submit to God. Don't try and resist the devil in your own strength. Submit to the power of the Holy Spirit. Call on Jesus, who is the creator of all, and allow his divine power to discharge that demonic spirit from you. So church, please don't be afraid of deliverance ministry. As Chip Ingram notes in both his book and in the video in our studies, and if you study all church history beginning in the first century, first, second, third, fourth century, Middle Ages, current times, you'll see Christians of every generation battle demons. Our goal is not to put a sign out in front of St. Peter's, exorcisms performed here. We don't go looking for these things. Heidi and I hate it when they come to us. But when they come, we're not afraid. We deal with the demons, we cast them out, and then we get right back on mission, preparing people for eternity. Submit to God, resist the devil. He will flee from you. Father, coming to today was not easy. It was a challenging week. And we know the obstacles put in the way along the week were to get us off the plan that you have given us. Thank you, God, for the grace and the strength, the sustenance, to deal with what we had to during the week to get to today. God, I know for some people hearing this, those watching online, they may be freaking out right now. What are you telling me, my preacher's wife, the people in my church have encountered these crazy situations? And Lord, we don't want anybody to be afraid. Lord, we're only to have fear for you. And the fear of the Lord is a reverence, an admiration, a respect, an awe, a worship. Fear is of the enemy. So God, we don't want anyone to be afraid of this. Lord, I pray the exact opposite is true. That for many people, the dots have been connected here this morning. Oh. When I felt that cringe, when my skin was crawling, when the hair on the back of my neck was standing up, that was an evil spirit. It was trying to get me off task. And so God, we pray that the equipping that we're doing through these 8 weeks is useful for every one of us, myself included. I'm learning so much. Thank you, Lord, for opening new understandings for us. God, help us not to be timid, but to take up the full armor and get in the battle and command these spiritual forces of wickedness to leave us and never return. God, help us to fill our minds, our hearts, things that we meditate upon, to be things that are noble and excellent and worthy of praise. God, we know that one of the tactics of the enemy is to get us bound over in sin and hold us there as captives. It looks different for every one of us. For some of us, it's a tongue that just wags out of control. For some of us, it's an overindulgence in food or alcohol or drugs or sex or any other prohibition. For some of us, it's pride and arrogance. For some of us, it's unforgiveness. For some of it, it's just abusing money and just blowing it on personal indulgences. And the enemy uses those means to attack us directly. And Lord, we know the antidote to those situations is confession of our sin. And so, Father, today we confess the sins that we all have, Tom Beck included. I am a sinner very much in need of your grace today. So, Father, forgive me for my thoughts this week, for my words this week, for my actions which were impure and unholy. Each one of us confess our own sins now. Sins of indulgence, sins of desire, sins of lack of forgiveness, sins of abuse in whatever form that looks like. God, we confess them to you today. We claim those things have no power over us because Jesus lives in us. We stand on the promise in your word that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Father, keep us mindful this week, every day, to be on mission for you. And when the spiritual forces of wickedness do come against us in whatever form of temptation or oppression or desire to control us, maybe even to try and take our lives, God, we pray against that in Jesus' name and remind us in those moments to bring the blood of Christ upon our lives, which washes us clean and pure. Father, help us to prepare people for eternity here in our community, around our county, and to the end of the world. Keep us focused on that mission. And Lord, let not the spiritual forces of wickedness take us away from that at all. And Lord, now we pray our prayers of intercession. Lord, we pray for Mike Stevens. We pray for your hand of healing over him. God, we pray that he will have renewed daily strength from the stroke that he's just had and heart surgery. Lord, we thank you for your hand over him, and we pray for your strength to sustain him, put people around him that will be able to walk alongside and help him into the path of healing and recovery. Lord, we pray for many families in our church who are away enjoying the long President's Day weekend holiday. We pray for fun and enjoyment while they're away, family time together. And Lord, we pray for safety in their return back home early in the week to be back home and back to their jobs. Pray all this in Jesus' great and mighty name. Amen.
Our last song is it's called Goodness of God.